I must get this text off my heart before I go home today. John 4, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Verse 3, he left Judea, departed again to Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. He had an appointment. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore being wearied with his journey, he set thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, it was noon, the sun was shining at its brightest. There cometh a woman of Samaria, she was an outcast, the Jews hated them, to draw water. She came in the heat of the day thinking maybe nobody would see her there. She was an outcast. She had a very bad past. She had a huge problem. She didn't fit into society. She was an outcast. So she comes at a time of day when nobody else is there. They've already got their work done. Then Jesus done something. Verse 9, he saith the woman of Samaria to him, let me get verse 7. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Then saith the woman of Samaria to him, how is it, thou being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Let me tell you something. Jesus is different than a lot of people. Aren't you glad we've got a Jesus that's different? Jesus answered. You know why he answered? Because he's got all of them. He answered and said unto her, oh, if thou knewest the gift of God. I thought about that when meeting was breaking out. A lot of you just knew how good it was. And who it is that saith to you, give me the drink. Thou would have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. The woman said to him, look, capital in your King James Bible, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well's deep from whence thou hast that living water. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank of himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever, I like that word, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever, that's me and you, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life. Now watch this, verse number 28 and 9. You can be seated. The woman then left her water pot and went her way to the city and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you today. We thank you for the good grace of God, your mercy, compassion. Thank you for the stirring of the Spirit of God in our hearts this morning. Help us now to make preaching applicable. Would you do with thy word what only you can do? I know you've put this text in my heart today. I want to thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. I'm going to preach out this thought, verse 29. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. I want to preach on this simple subject today. Come see a man that told me all things that I ever did. There are three main thrusts in this sermon that I want to get across. Number one, listen attentively today. I won't be long. There's a passionate Christ. We've sung about him all morning. Not only is there a passionate Christ, there's a personal conviction. Thirdly, there's a public confession. Now let's watch the text and stay in the text and let the Bible do the talking. The passionate Christ, verses 4 and 5, I'm glad He's passionate with His ways. The Bible said that He must needs go through Samaria, and He cometh to a city of Samaria that is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now this passionate Christ, we see His favor. We're favored because of His ways. Isn't that amazing that God would send His Son to walk in this old world? Come down to a city like Bowdoin, Georgia, and present Himself. You know why? Because He's a passionate Christ. We see His favor in His ways. But then look in verse 6. I see His favor in His weariness. Jacob's well was there. And look, Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, He set us on the well. I want to say today, He was not weary of well-doing, but He was weary in well-doing. He wasn't weary of well-doing, but He was weary in well-doing. Isn't it amazing? The God-man, Jesus, the one that the disciples came to Him, and He was asleep on a pillow. They awake Him and they cried, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? And He stood up and He said, Peace be still. Now I've met a lot of men that talk about the weather. But I've only seen one in the Bible that can talk to the weather. Amen. So He's God, man. Isn't that amazing that in His human self, He became weary. And He set us on the way. That lets me know that Jesus was very passionate for sinners. He didn't have to leave heaven, but He did. He was born of a virgin woman in a lowly stable in Bethlehem, not in Jerusalem, but a little town in Bethlehem. It seemed that He was always to the outcast. There was no room for Him. But aren't you glad He made room for you? And here, this passionate Christ in His favor, we see His ways, His weariness. But look in verse number 7 at His words. I'm ever indebted to His favor. Jesus always has the first word to say to a sinner. You know why we couldn't get to Him, but I sure am glad He could get to us. Look what He does. This passionate Christ in His favor of words. Verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said there, give me to drink. He started the conversation. You know, I sure am glad that God starts the conversation. He begins to speak to our hearts. Has there ever been a time that God has spoke to you? This passionate Christ of His favor. We see His ways, His weariness, and His words. But now look at this passionate Christ, not only in His favor, but let's look at His facts. In His facts. This woman's coming to the well at noon. She's an outcast. Nobody likes her. And she came there and Jesus said, give me something to drink. And she said, you mean you would talk to me as a Samaritan and ask me, you a Jew, to give you something to drink? You must be different. This man, something's different about him. Even though he dresses like the Jews, he looks like a Jew. No doubt he is a Jew, but he's not acting like the typical Jew. He started the conversation. Boy, I'll never forget the day in my life. I was raised in religion. I was raised with one of the greatest parents a man could ever have in Middle Tennessee. I was raised in religion all my life. But I never heard Jesus talk to me till I was already 20 years old. Brother Philip, there's an old preacher that's in heaven this evening. He came to my trailer one Saturday morning. Brother Mike, he asked me something. He said, Ken, have you ever been saved? Of course, I didn't tell him the truth. I wanted him to leave. But when he left, God stayed. God began to deal with me. And I sure am glad that God initiated the conversation. God spoke to this woman. Has there ever been a time that God has spoke to you? And so we see this passionate Christ and His favor. But now look at His facts in verse number 10. She said, "The Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Now watch his facts. First of all, about knowing. Brother Van Horn is a missionary. He spends his life giving people information about knowing. Look what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift." Let me ask you something. Do you know that Jesus died for you? Do you know that this Bible is totally inspired and errant? There's not a wrong word in this book. Did you know that you could go to heaven by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? And did you know that's the only way you can go to heaven? I preached last week on those two thieves on the cross. You remember? Both of them were nailed to the cross. They couldn't work their way to God. They couldn't walk their way to God. But one got saved because he simply trusted God. What is that, preacher? That's being saved by grace through faith. Amen. See, he can do for you what me and you can't do for ourselves. And so in this facts, we see the facts of knowing. Then this may surprise you. Look in verse 10. Not only the facts of knowing, but there's the facts of asking. A lot of people miss this. Jesus answered and said to her, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that said to give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given the living water." You know, it upsets me that people think they're going to heaven and they've never talked to the Lord about it. You see, there in this fact, there was a knowing. There was an asking. Jesus said, I want you to know, and on the sound of my voice today, even out through the platforms that we're on, Jesus wants you to know that He died for you. And you're not going to heaven without Jesus. You can be baptized, every catfish in the pond knows you by name. You can give all your money to gain all the world. You can do everything you can do in your own merit, and you can never work your way to God. But Jesus paid the price for you. And so in this fact, we see the fact of knowing, the fact of asking. And then there's a fact of receiving. Look in verse 14. "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Now, here he says, one that I will give to and would receive would have everlasting life. Look how long it works. He said, "But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I shall give him, and he shall never thirst." Never thirst. I believe what God does, He does forever. Amen. Sure, we get out of the way. Sure, we lose the pathway sometimes. But I've noticed this about losing my pathway. There's somebody inside of me that's tugging me back to the pathway. And it's not Ken. It's the God that lives in me. So that takes me to this. Watch your Bible. This passionate Christ, His favor, His facts. But now, verse 15, look at His findings. He has to deal with this individual the way He deals with every individual. And I don't want nobody in the building to miss it this morning. This happened to me. And everybody that's ever been saved by grace through faith, this has happened to them. Look how wise Jesus is. Now you notice, I want you to notice something. In John 3, one of the first musts where He must go through Samaria,
One of the first musts in the Gospel of John he ever used, he used it to the most religious man named Nicodemus. And you know what he said? You must be born again. First thing he told Nicodemus. Nicodemus was on the highest chart in the religion of society. He had arrived. He knew everything. Nicodemus come to Jesus by night. The first thing that Jesus said, he said, you must be born again. But this lady here, he deals with her different. He starts talking to her and he shows her something. He dealt with her different than he did Nicodemus, and watch what he does. This passionate Christ, we see not only his facts of knowing, asking, and receiving, but now we see his findings. Look at the findings of the past. Look what he says. This woman, now he has gotten her attention. The woman said unto her, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She said, that sounds pretty good to me. Jesus said to her, look what he says, go, call thy husband, and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband, in that saidest thou truly. His findings. I want to say something. Jesus knew about her past. We're not hiding our past to anybody. A lot of times we think we're hiding things. We're not hiding anything. Jesus knows everything about us. And you're never going to get peace to God till you confess these things to Him and get them under the blood and let Calvary handle it. So we see this finding. The woman said to Him, give me this water. And Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. So these findings were about our past, but also about our present. He said, I understand, hon. Not only do you have five men in your past, but one that you're staying with now is not your husband. Now I want you to notice, Jesus didn't throw rocks at her. But Jesus simply pointed truth to her. Jesus, you know what He was doing? He was convicting her heart. And until me and you are convicted about our sinful condition, we're never going to move toward the Savior. He showed her sin. Brother Mike, I'll never forget the day when the Lord got to dealing with me, and I was, as Brother David said this morning, I had so many sin. Folks, I saw my sin. I seen who I was. And notice this. He first shows her who she is. Go! Then He shows her who He is. Go. Boy, isn't that good? I mean, in that Bible preaching, He had to show her her sin. He said, go! Now we see His mercy and grace. Come. We must see ourselves, our sin, and our condition. Now, I want to ask you something. Have you ever seen your condition? I understand. And you know something? Good moral people is some of the hardest people you'll ever try to reach with the gospel. They're good, solid people. They do the best they can. But let me tell you, the best we can is not good enough. For Jesus said these words, there's none good, no, not one. This thing that lives inside of all of us, this old nature, this old man, it's a bad, bad situation. So Jesus, in His findings, He told her about her past. You know, I was sitting there, can I be real honest with you as a pastor? I'm about done preaching. I was sitting there yesterday and something was bothering me in my life personally. You say, what was it, preacher? That ain't none of your business. But it was bothering me. And I was studying the preacher's sermon. I seen this. I said, God, I said, you know, you told me if I confess my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me my sins. and it cleansed me from all unrighteousness. This little thing is bothering me, and God, I want to confess this to you. You see, we only get peace when we tell Him that we agree with what He said.
Right.
So here was a lady nobody else wanted to have anything to do with, but Jesus wanted something to do with.
Yeah.
Baptist Church would probably frown on her, not give her a seat. Probably wouldn't be kind to her, but I tell you what Jesus done.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I want you to go, but I want you to come back.
Right.
I want to see you again. So you see how Jesus handled this situation? He showed her the need of a Savior.
Have you ever seen your need of a Savior? So now, there's the passionate Christ. But now watch this personal conviction. Passionate Christ. But now personal conviction. Look what she does. In verse number 15, she acknowledged her thirst. Look what the Bible says. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She got thirsty. Have you ever got thirsty? Have you spiritually ever got thirsty for God to do something for you? So we see in her personal conviction that she acknowledged her thirst. Secondly, look in verse 17. She confessed her sin. Look what it says in 17. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. I'm getting honest with you, Lord. See, the Lord just wants us to get honest with Him. Isn't it hard to get honest with Him? You remember when Adam sinned in the garden and he run? God come to him in the cool of the day. He said, Adam, where art thou? Boy, Adam started talking. He was a hiding. But boy, didn't he get a lot better when he told God about the situation. God killed an animal and clothed him in the skin of sacrifice. First typology of salvation in our Bible by the grace of God. I sure am glad that she confessed her sin. Watch. She acknowledged her thirst. She confessed her sin. But look in verse 19. She evidenced a new intelligence that a light has come on with her in verse 19 when he's dealing with this woman. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Brother Adam, I like what the old writer said last night about she evidenced a new intelligence. She said, Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. You know what she just told Jesus? A prophet was a man that had the voice of God. God would speak through them. And she said, I perceive God's talking out of you. Have you ever perceived that it's not the preacher talking to you? Have you ever perceived it's not somebody talking to you, but it's God talking to you? You see, she evidenced a dawning intelligence. And then verse 25, she avowed her faith. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He's come, He'll tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. Verse 28. Now y'all watch this. This Brother Jamie, I want you.
Brother Mike, I want all preachers look at this verse. Verse 28, I've never seen this right here. Watch when she gets saved. God's turned the light on her. He's convicting her. He's got her thirsty. She's wanting something. Now watch when she gets saved. Verse 28. And the woman then. Y'all see that? Circle that then. There's a lot of things happened before then. But right now, this woman. The woman then left the water pot and went away in the city and said to the men, come see a man. It's told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Miss Sherry.
You see, there was a passionate Christ.
There was personal conviction. You know what happened to this lady? God spoke to her and started turning the light on. He just started turning the light up. And when He turned that light up, first of all, she saw herself. Boy, who I am. Then she saw who He was. The Bible says, then she left her water pot. She turned from the things that she had had a hold of in this old world. I still believe in repentance. I still believe in repentance. I want to say that nationally.
Amen.
She let go of her walk. See, now she's got the way. She don't need a water pot anymore. She run in the city and look what it says. She called the men. I don't know who they were. Maybe it's some of her past. Come see a man. Told me all things that I ever did is not this Christ. That's the water font. She's in heaven, you see. Because Jesus spoke words to her that nobody else would. Maybe here this morning, you like this person. I want to tell you that Jesus loves you and He cares. Maybe you're here and you've seen yourself. Most importantly, you've seen who He is. It's a great morning. I've heard people, as I preach and give altar calls, I've had men. I'll never forget in West Virginia one time. There's a man coming to the end of God, like preached. Brother Adam Meany was coming. I said, sir, just call on God and He'll save you. That man grabbed me and pulled me back down. He grabbed me by the jaws. He said, preacher, don't you leave me. I don't know how to pray. Hey, I pray you got yours to save when you call on the Lord and save him. The next year I went to save him. Here he comes. Had on a Vietnam hat. Had on cut off blue jeans, brother Ty. Here he comes. He grabbed me and kicked over and he said, I've been waiting to see you a year. I've got buddies. I was with some of them this week. They were checking out. I was at the back door. I'd already done my transaction. One of my acquaintances asked another friend of mine, he said, are you going to be able to come tomorrow? And he said, no, I've got to go to a funeral. This is what he said, it was down my heart. He said, she probably died without God and went to hell and I'm going with her. You know what I said? You don't have to.
Amen.
You don't have to. He said, why did you say that? Because the Bible says you don't have to. But you'll all have to come to faith. We got a number this morning. You're going to sing, Brother Tim. You're going to sing what we're going to do. You're going to sing. I want you to sing. I want everybody around the building. I want you to stand this morning. I've tried my best to mind the Lord. Do you want peace that passes all understanding? Would you trust Christ to be your Savior? Would you get honest with God this morning as He showed you you? When you've seen you, you just look up toward Him because He says, come. I'll in no wise cast you out, Brother Tim. You're saying, would you